Andreas was a tall, slightly stooped man in his 60s, a thick head of gray hair and big bushy eyebrows. And as he looked down the path, he saw the first customers of the day arriving. A quiet man, wearing those shorts that only Americans wore, shorts that did nothing for the bottom or the legs, but only pointed out the ridiculous nature of the human figure. He was on his own and stopped to look at the fire through binoculars. A beautiful German girl, tall, tanned, with hair streaked by the sun, or a very expensive hairdresser. A boy in his 20s, small and anxious-looking, with glasses that he kept taking off and wiping. He was open-mouthed in horror, looking at the boat in the bay down below. A couple exhausted after their walk up the hill. They were Scottish or Irish, Andreas thought. He couldn't quite make out the accents. The boy had a sort of swagger about him, as if he were trying to tell some imaginary audience that the walk had not been difficult at all.
"That's the boat we were on yesterday."
The girl had her hand over her mouth in shock.
"Oh my God, it could have been us."
"Well, it isn't, so what's the point in saying that?"
her boyfriend said firmly.
"I must telephone my brother, Georgi. He's in the police station. Maybe they don't know about it. Maybe they cannot see the fire from down there."
The tall American man spoke gently.
"They see it. Look, there are lifeboats already on the way."
But Andreas went to make the call anyway. Of course, there was no answer from the tiny police station up the hill from the harbor. The young girl was peering down at the innocent-looking blue sea, where the ragged scarlet flames and the black smoke seemed like a grotesque blot in the middle of a painting.
"I can't believe it," she said over and over. "Yesterday, he was teaching us to dance on that very boat, Olga. He called it after his grandmother."
"Manos, that's his boat, isn't it?" asked the boy with the glasses. "I was on his boat, too."
"Yes, that is Manos,"
said Andreas gravely.
"Do you know him?"
asked the tall American with the binoculars.
"Yes, indeed. We all know everyone here."
Andreas wiped his eyes with a table napkin. They stood as if transfixed, watching the distant boats arriving and trying to douse the flames, the bodies struggling in the water, hoping to be picked up by smaller craft. He felt a hand on his arm. It was the blonde German girl.
"It's worse for you. This is your place," she said.
He felt the tears come to his eyes. She was right. It was his place. He had been born here. He knew everyone in Aya Anna. He had known Olga, the grandmother of Manos. He knew the young men putting their boats out into the tide to rescue the victims. He knew the families who would be standing wailing at the harbor. Yes, it was worse for him. He looked at her piteously. Her face was kind, but she was practical, too.
"Why don't you sit down? Please do," she said kindly. "There's nothing we can do to help them."
It was the spur he needed.
"I'm Andreas,"
he said.
"You're right. This is my place, and something terrible has happened here. I will offer you all a Metaxa brandy for the shock, and we will say a prayer for the people in the bay."
"Is there nothing, that we can do?"
asked the English boy with glasses.
"It took us about 3 hours to get up this far. By the time we go back, I guess we'd only be in the way,"
said the tall American man.
"I'm Thomas, by the way, and I think we'd better not be crowding the harbor. See, there are dozens of people there already."
He offered his binoculars so they could see for themselves.
"I'm Elsa," said the German girl, "and I'll get the glasses."
They stood with tiny glasses of the fire liquid in their hands and raised a strange toast in the sunshine. Fiona, the Irish girl with the red hair and a freckled nose, said,
"May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed rest in peace."
Her boyfriend seemed to wince slightly at the expression.
"Well, why not, Shane?" she asked him defensively. "It's a blessing."
"Go in peace,"
said Thomas to the wreck, where the flames had died down and they were in the business of counting the living and the dead.
"L'chaim," said David, the English boy with the glasses. "It means to life," he explained.
"Ruht in Frieden," said Elsa, with tears in her eyes.
"O Theos, asanapavsi tim psychito,"
said Andreas,